to the book of Matthew as we progress towards the conclusion over the next couple of weeks of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21 today, verses 21 through 23, we read these words of our Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Father, we pray that that not be the case for us. We pray that through this word today, you would help us examine ourselves to see where we stand. But we don't want to wait till that day and hear those words. We want to hear the words, Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. But we must not assume anything. Let us take heed lest we fall. Do inspire us, do open our hearts and our eyes. And Father, help us to life out this word. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Previously, Jesus has warned about a false gate and a false way. He went on to warn us about false prophets. Now he warns us about false brethren. Just as you had wolves in sheep's clothing, you can have goats in sheep's clothing. For on this same day, focusing towards the end of the age, when he says, I never knew you, in Matthew 26, he says he will come and separate the sheep from the goats. But some of those sheep, so-called, maybe didn't realize that they were goats. Maybe they were self-deluded that they were saved and were not. We don't want that. And therefore, this is a sermon that should prod us to examine ourselves. There were many in the audience that day of the Pharisees who took pride in themselves. They trusted in themselves. We must not trust in ourselves and assume that the kingdom of God is ours. So the question before us today is, how can you recognize a true follower of Christ, a true disciple, from a false one? And I believe the answer Jesus gave in the latter part of verse 21, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And therefore, my message today is this, that true believers do the will of God from the heart by the grace of God. That true believers do the will of God from the heart by the grace of God. The key words are will and heart. The will is the power and the strength to do something. That inner strength and resolve to do something. The heart is your innermost being where the will and everything about you proceeds. It is the center of your being. It is where your desires are, where your will is. We need to examine our hearts today and even our will. Are we doing God's will or our will? And the most dangerous thing about it all is that you can think that you're doing God's will. You can think that you're confessing Jesus. Because look here in these verses. They're saying, Lord, Lord, verse 21. They're saying, Lord, Lord, look at what we've done in your name. They thought they were saved. They thought they were his people, his sheep, But he says, I never knew you. In verse 21, Jesus is warning about a false confidence of salvation. Do you realize that you could be with Jesus and not of Jesus? That you could walk with him and talk with him. Even eat with him. Well, in a sense, we do that. We walk with him, we talk with him, we pray, we eat with him, we have the Lord's Supper. Guess who else was with Jesus and did all those things with Jesus, but was not of Jesus? Judas Iscariot. Do you realize that you can be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and still not be saved? Witness in Acts, Simon the magician. You can be a pastor, as I speak, a teacher, a preacher of the gospel, and still not be of Christ. Witness Paul's companion in the ministry, Demas. Isn't that amazing? In ministry with Apostle Paul. And yet he turned against him in the gospel. You can understand Orthodox doctrine, Reformed, which I believe is the closest of outlining biblical doctrine. You can be orthodox in doctrine and understand all the principles of grace and still not be saved. Just as I said, there were wolves in sheep's clothing, there are sheep, there are goats in sheep's clothing. That's some serious thoughts. Examples that we need to take heed of, because Jesus is giving a warning. Do you realize throughout redemptive history, there have been false brethren in the covenant community? The first church, right, was Adam and Eve, right? Cain and Abel. How many of them were saved at that time? Now, hopefully, Adam and Eve were later saved, and we know Abel was. Only one. Abel, talked about righteous Abel in the book of Hebrews. But look, you have righteous Abel, then you have Cain. All in the same covenant community, if you please. Look at Abraham, the father of the faithful. How many faithful sons did he have? Did he have two? Both of them were with him. Both of them were of his seed. You have Isaac, but Ishmael was not. You have Isaac's sons. Again, in the community, in the church, if you please, of the Old Testament. And you have one who was and one who wasn't. You have Jacob who was, but Esau who was not. Jesus warned us. Look at Israel. You have Moses and Aaron. In the same community, you have Dathan and Abiram. Two who were saved, two who weren't. And they were all came out of Egypt. They were all baptized in the Red Sea. And they weren't saved, save of the example of Moses and Aaron. Jesus warned this. He says, you're going to have wheat and tares. And you know what? A tare looks like wheat. You cannot tell the difference. You cannot tell the difference until a certain point, until the harvest. And when the harvest of all of mankind comes about at the end of the age, he will, God says, Jesus, then I will separate the wheat from the tares. But we are hearing the word today. Jesus gave that word, this word I'm preaching, he gave it as a warning, even to his own disciples and all who heard him. And we must take it to heart. Because you see, the problem is the heart. The problem is the heart. There lies something that nobody can see. Only God sees that. Oh, you can know by certain fruit, but the heart is where it is. You can say, Lord, Lord. Look at verse 21 again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, and that's a confession of faith in a sense. They're saying, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah, Lord, Lord. We believe in you. You can even say that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All of that. And still be lost. These are empty words. And we say a lot of things, but is our heart in there? Is our heart there? Empty words. I like the way John MacArthur put it in this section in his commentary. He said, empty words, empty heart. Empty words, empty heart. We may mouth the right words, but what's in our heart? In Matthew 15, Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah. He said, these people worship me. They come before me as our people. My people, even as it was quoted this morning in the scripture reading in Ezekiel. My people worship or honor me with their lips, Jesus said. They're saying the right thing. But their heart is far from me. You realize that you could teach a parrot to say, Lord, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And he can say all of that, not no more, makes him a Christian. They're not saying it. It's a matter of the heart. James tells us, in James chapter, I forget, I didn't write it down, but he says that the devils believe. Because people think, well, oh, I believe. If they say they believe, they're saved. He says the devils believe and tremble. But they don't do the Father's will. The heart. You can't trust your heart. Some people say, well, you know, just follow your heart. How many times have you heard people say that? Oh, if you just follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. The prophet Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful and it is desperately wicked. Let me emphasize the deceitful part. Your heart can fool you into thinking you're saved. And it's desperately wicked. It's deceitful. It's totally depraved. And the worst manifestation of a deceitful heart is one who thinks they're saved by what they do, who has convinced themselves. The greatest sin is in the church, not on the street. The people that are furthest from God are in the church. The people in Jesus' day who were furthest from God were not the sinners, were not the prostitutes and the wine bibbers. He talked about that. But those who thought they were right. He gave many examples of that. And he called it hypocrisy. Because they had all the trappings of religion, said all the right things, but their heart wasn't right. In fact, he went on to really shock some of them. He said, you know, the day of judgment, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. That really shocked them. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah was the epitome. And later on, Paul called Jerusalem in Galatians, Sodom and Gomorrah. He equated that holy city that was not holy because of the people to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what sodomy is. And you can look it up if you don't know. Now, verse 22. Empty words, empty heart. Many will say, notice, I want to look at this. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Now watch this. Compare this to the latter part of verse 21. But only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, isn't it God's will that we prophesy, that we speak the word of God, and that we speak the name of God and prophesy in his name? We're doing this in Jesus' name. You can turn on any TV. You can listen to my sermons and you will see Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And we pray for people who are sick, right? And there are many miracles. We pray that demons be cast out. Is not that the Father's will? Because verse 21, he says, don't call me Lord, Lord. You don't do my Father's will. Now you see him doing the Father's will. And then he still goes on to say, plainly, I never knew you. Man, it seemed like you can't win for losing. If you confess his name, he doesn't know you. If you do, you say, you didn't do my will. Then you go do his will and he still doesn't know you. What's the problem? The heart is the problem. You see, did not we say empty words, empty heart? Now I want to say worthless works and a worthless heart. Worthless works. You mean it's worthless that you pray for somebody and they're healed? In the final analysis on Judgment Day, it will be worthless, even though it may have done that person who received the miracles good. Worthless works come from a worthless heart. The way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, if I give all the, he says, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm like a doom, doom, or cling, cling, cymbals and gongs. He said, if I give everything I have to the poor, doing the will of God, and have not love, he said, it is worthless. Or he says, what does it profit me? If I give my body to be burned for the name of Jesus as a martyr and have not love, what does it profit me? That's why I said, profit, it's worthless. Why? Because of the heart. If you have not love, and where does love come from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The love of God in Romans 5, Paul said, is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5. It is only by God's Spirit living in us can we love. Can our hearts be made right? People just saying, Lord, Lord, and doing what appears to be the will of God will be rejected. Now, that's hard, isn't it? It's hard to get our minds around it. Except God says, I don't see, and I don't judge as a man judges. A man judges about what he hears, and he judges by what he sees. He says, I judge the heart, the inner workings of a man. And unless God's Spirit is there, God's love is there, it's nothing. And look at verse 23. Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. This gets to the heart of the matter as well. I never knew you. He's not talking about, oh, I forgot your name. What did you say your name was? I never met you before. I never knew you. No, we never met. No, God knows everything, doesn't he? But he is not talking about that kind of knowledge. In both Greek and Hebrew, when it's talking about, and Adam knew his wife, and they knew one another, it's talking about an intimate relationship. It's talking about a love relationship. In other words, I never loved you. I never knew you. That's why you must depart from me. Salvation is to be known by God, that is, loved by God, and then to know him and to love him. Come with me to John 17. You know what eternal life is? You know what salvation is? It's being known by God. It's being loved by God. John 17 and in verse 3. John 17 and verse 3. Notice what Jesus says. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you've sent. John 17:3. That's eternal life, to know the true God. And how do we know him? John said in one of his epistles, not that we love God, but he first loved us. And we know him because he loved us. This is a similar to what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Paul uses this language of knowing God. See, when God knows you, he loves you, and he changes your heart. We'll see that piece in a moment. In Romans chapter 9, it says this in verse 20. We can read verse 28. And we know, now that is speaking of a knowledge and a faith, in all things God works for the good of those who love him. It's not confessing him. It's not doing things first and foremost, but it is loving him because he first loved us, Romans 8:28. And we know, he says this, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, that he loved us before time, before you were born or ever thought of, he loved you. He's always loved you. Isn't that amazing? See, that's salvation. It's the work of God. You can do all the salvation things and all the religious things, but if God did not love you, if he did not foreknow you, he's never known you. Like a little bit of double talk, isn't it? I'll say it again. If he did not ever know you, he never knew you. But the fact that he will say, come, at least that's our hope. That's our faith. In him, because he loved us, he would have known us. He could not say, I never knew you, because he knew you. Now, I'm saying some double talk things, but I hope you'll think about it. He loved you before time, and he knew you. He knew you and loved you, even when you were a sinner, even before you sinned, after you sinned, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you more or less. And he predestined you to be conformed, because he knew you and loved you, to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers, true brothers that are known. And those he predestined, he also called. This is the golden chain of salvation that can be not be broken. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Wow. No missing links in that chain of salvation. All because he knew you before the foundation of the world. True believers then therefore do the work of God because they know God. They do the will of God. True believers do the will of God by grace from the heart. Why? Because God knew them and knows them. I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. I think this kind of says a lot. Ezekiel 36, and we can begin reading in verse 25. This is what he does for those he knows. In verse 25, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. It's forgiveness. And you will be clean. What a blessing to be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you, notice, what does he do? He forgives us, then guess what he does? He gives us a new heart. See, it's all about the heart. I will give you a new heart and put, notice, a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees, to do my will, and be careful to keep my laws. Isn't that wonderful? This is salvation. All out of God knowing us and loving us. And then he cleanses us. And he gives us a new heart. Puts the Holy Spirit in us. And moves us to follow his decrees and his laws and his will. Only by that method is one a sheep in sheep's clothing. Only by that method is one saved. It is by his grace, doing his will from the heart. You see, we've been saved, Ephesians 2, by grace through faith. And then it says, not of ourselves. This faith is a gift of God. And he says, and God, I'm going to put it in these terms, that God foreordained works, created you, made you a new creation to do good works. When he knew you and loved you, it was in his plan to cleanse you, give you a new heart, and then to do his will. So yes, it's Lord, Lord, because he knew us and knows us and we know him. Yes, it's Lord, Lord, we have done this, but it has been that which you have ordained from the foundation of the world for us to do. And we do it by your grace and through faith, because you're moving and working in our hearts, both to will and desire. I like how Paul puts it in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. He says, work out your own salvation. Oh, yes, there's obedience. There's working it out. But he did not say work for your own salvation. Big difference. Oh, you don't work for your salvation. It is a gift of God. But he's put it there, and he says, in that sense of divine sovereignty and human responsibility, we are responsible and animated and quickened and energized by the Holy Spirit to do that which he's put in us. He said, work out your own salvation. Not work for, but that salvation God has put there. For it is God who works in you. How can you say, I never knew you in these things, I never knew you, when it's him in it's doing it? For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the real deal. Now let's go back to our text in Matthew 7 and in verse 23. I want to say this. He talks about, in verse 23, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. We've covered that. Away from me, you evildoers. 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 Can a sheep in sheep's clothing be an evildoer? I submit to you, it is impossible. Now, a goat in sheep's clothing can have all the trappings of Christianity. Looks like one, talks like one. You know, they say if you walk like a duck and talk like a duck, quack like a duck, you're a duck. Maybe. You could be a goose in a duck's clothing. If you walk like a Christian and you talk like a Christian, you could really be a goat, because nobody knows your heart but God. Nobody knows your secret life but God. But a true Christian, a true sheep, it is impossible for Jesus to say to them, you evildoers. Why? To me, this is a profound text. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 6. Here he says, no one who lives in him, lives in God, lives in Jesus, lives in the Holy Spirit. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him, and look at that word again, or known him. Anybody who says they're a Christian, walks like a Christian, talks like a Christian, but continues a lifestyle of sin, does not know him, does not love him, and has not been loved by him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. That is speaking of God, speaking of Christ. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. No one who's born of God will continue to sin. Remember what we read in Ezekiel 36? How that he says, I'm going to give them a new heart, and I'm going to put my spirit in them, and I will move them to obey my laws and decrees. So therefore, it is impossible. That's why John can say this with authority, even from the Old Testament. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed, the Holy Spirit, remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor anyone who does not love his brother. We're not talking about someone slipping in sin. None of us are perfect. But I'm talking about a lifestyle of sin. Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Wow. You say, well, that sounds harsh of Jesus. These people were doing all that in his name, but he never knew them. It's true. And they're practicing evil. I want to read you something that kind of sums this section of the sermon up. This is something that is engraved in Germany on the ceiling of a church, of a cathedral, in Lübeck, Germany. Listen carefully to these words. As we've heard the words of Jesus, depart from me, I never knew you, you evildoers. Listen carefully. Thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. Quote, you call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. Amen. Amen. What shall we say, rather, what shall we do in the light of this? We cannot blame God. We must look at ourselves. What shall we say unto the Lord? Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive me. And repent of our hypocritical, self-righteous hearts. Even as Job said, Lord, I've heard of you, but now my eye sees you, and I repent. I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Paul, even as an apostle in Romans 7, he looked into his heart, and he said, you know, within me dwells no good thing. When was the last time you said that to the Lord? And then ask him to forgive you. Ask him to give you, if you're not saved, even if you're not sure, ask him, Father, give me a new heart. Give me a heart that desires you. Give me the will to obey you. Jesus, come and live within me. And then depend on him. Divine, abide in him, trust in him. That you, a branch, and him, the vine, will become one. And out of his strength, you will practice love. You will do his will. For to know him is to love him, and to love him is to know him. So a true believer does the will of God from the heart by the grace of God. Father, we thank you for this Sermon on the Mount that hits us all squarely between the eyes. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, so that we can see you and see ourselves. For we all have sinned and fall short of your glory. Lord, we don't want to come down to that day and you say to us, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. We don't want that, Lord. Save us, for you are mighty to save. Change our hearts, O Lord. And we thank you for this message from Jesus and this message today. And help us to go. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you change us. In Jesus' name, amen.